Welcome back, MGTOW men. This is a really late MGTOW Sermon Sunday, I realize, but I had some other stuff to do today, including having an awesome conversation with Jerry Liu, one of my favorite content creators. Please check him out. I will link him down in the description for you guys. We go all over the place, including MGTOW and movies, hobbies, and happiness as a MGTOW man. But today, guys, we are going to be looking at one of the most well-known instances of adultery in the Bible and murder. Adultery and murder, I guess. David and Bathsheba. And man, this is one of the stories that resonated with me as a kid growing up in church. And I remember the exact room that we studied and the teacher that I had. This story, once again, regardless if you agree with the Bible or you read it or believe in it or anything, it has a lot to say about the modern day world because there's nothing under the sun that is new. And man, this story looks at the treachery that sex can create in a man's heart and how much he can give away just for sex. And while this is also about a woman committing adultery, this is more about our hearts as a man and how David ignored his role and responsibility as a man after God's own heart and the king of an entire nation. And I didn't have my MGTOW lenses on back then, but I knew that the story looked into the human heart and, more importantly, looked at the hearts of a man and a woman individually, what we want, our desires, and more importantly, how fallible and vulnerable we are when it comes to sex. And this passage can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 11 to 12. If you want to follow along, I'll give a brief background on David. David was described in the Bible after a man after God's own heart. He took down Goliath with a stone. David and Goliath, this is the David. And he was chosen and set aside by God from the very beginning. So you know the David and Goliath comparison, this analogy, metaphor that's used so often today. That David that took down Goliath with a stone is the same guy that was taken down by a woman and her vagina, essentially. And the first thing that David did wrong was he denied his call as a man and a leader. So David was king of Israel at the time, and he was home in his palace as Jerusalem was at war, waging against the Ammonites. And in the first verse of chapter 11, it states, "They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem." So men, this is where the problem starts, okay? We as men, when we are in leadership roles, whether it's at work, a sports team, in the military, or even as a husband or a father, if any of you are listening, men, you're meant to fulfill this role. David didn't, okay? The king, the warrior that took down Goliath and was known as a great warrior and ignited an Israeli revolt and come back against the Philistines stayed back at home instead of being at war with his men who needed him. And this is where his failure is first at. And idle hands will lead to sin. And being idle is what he was doing at this time. He was resting. He was staying back. And being idle, many kings did. But the fact that it was emphasized in this first verse stated that he probably shouldn't have been home. And being idle is the devil's work, as it said in the Bible. And guys, the times that I've struggled most in life, whether it's with depression, which I did have struggles with as during junior high and high school, and also with pornography and masturbation, were times that I didn't really feel like I belonged amongst a group of men and wasn't working towards something, I wasn't driven. And this is a calling within us men that can't be shaken. Men have to have this pursuit. Even if it's not in a group setting, we have to be moving forward towards something. And our minds drift and we lose that feeling of value, and thus we need to find an immediate replacement for value, which is often lustful value created in sex with a chick that you shouldn't be with. Idle hands obviously lead to these situations, and disconnecting from men can as well. And David was away from war as his brothers were fighting. And instead, his eyes had time to drift to Bathsheba, who was married to a man named Uriah, who happened to be fighting in the war at that very moment. It says, "One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. This woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. And guess what happens? David, in his idleness, gets Bathsheba. He doesn't just get her, he gets her pregnant. In order to cover up for the fact that Bathsheba is pregnant and Uriah would certainly not be the father, David tries to cover up his sin and shame and orders that Uriah be sent to the front lines of battle in order to be killed." He's not just committing adultery. He's trying to murder this guy to cover up from it. He's not doing something else, something petty. He's committing murder, okay? But before that, David sends a messenger to bring Uriah home. This is where it gets even worse, okay? So Uriah is sent home from war. Uriah returns to his wife, and David tells him to go spend time with Bathsheba and to lay with her in order that when Bathsheba's pregnancy becomes public, it appears that Uriah is the father, and ideally, Uriah is dead. So not only do people not know that David's child is actually the one that Bathsheba is carrying, but Uriah can't be there for the backlash either. And Uriah is instead a stand-up guy. And he not only just, he doesn't even go and see his wife. He lays out in front of his home, okay? He honors his wife, his country, and God. And guess what? He loses. Uriah stays outside, does not lay with his wife, as it was a military rule not to lay with one's wife while men were out fighting at war. They were not to be with their wives, and he honored that. And shortly after, Uriah returns to battle. He dies, freeing David from Uriah's wrath, but bringing on God's judgment. And so, guys, sex is never enough, okay? So, according to the Bible, David had 8 wives, and he also needed this urge for Bathsheba, who was married and married to one of his soldiers, no less, one of his employees. And it's just a testament, man, that sex will never satisfy you in the long run if it's going to be, if you perceive it to be what is going to satisfy you, okay? What do you establish sex as? What are you labeling it as? If you're establishing that it has to be that thing that you're going to pursue and that you will satisfy you, then you're going to fall flat on your face. And you're always going to want more if you pursue it as something that must be had and as a means to an end. It's not a survival thing for you. You do not die if you don't have sex, okay? When I cut myself off from sex, I wanted it less. I have been grounded in my thoughts and so forth that I was able to stay strong. And men, after masturbating I remember one time, I was a sophomore in high school. I went no fat for 4 straight years. Okay. I didn't masturbate from age 16 to 20. And what changed it? I had sex with who was my ex-girlfriend. And guess what happened? When I started having sex, I needed to masturbate after 4 years of it during my strongest hormonal times in my life. It was a dopamine wiring inside of me that I had created, and I developed neural networks that needed to fire and couldn't stay dormant. And men, I don't want to state this stuff to say that sex is inherently bad, because it's not and has so many benefits when it's done right. But sex, if you label it to be your end all be all, it's not going to be what you need it to be. It's not what you're going to be, what you're expecting either. And sex is going to make you throw everything away in so many situations. David was willing to throw everything away that he had, and he had so much and so much more than we even realize. He was willing to throw away his personal respect, which was through the roof, as a man and as a king, by committing adultery with one of his soldiers' wives. If this were to be found out as King David, he would be protected. He wouldn't lose his life that, you know, as many soldiers would, but he would lose respect amongst his men and could potentially lead to a fissure within his command and council. And man, how many times have we done this where we've thrown away personal respect for the sake of dating a woman? We've cut off friendships with people, familial ties, and even work ties just because we wanted a fling and fell into lust. And I've done this before, and I almost lost relationships with my parents, with my best friend. And regardless of what you've accomplished and what you have as a man, as David did, and was a man chosen by God, one that is prophesied to carry the genetic line that Jesus came out of, you're not free from temptation that's going to that's going to come your way. Just because what you have and you feel satisfied in it, it's not going to prevent you from feeling the temptation for sex. And men, we also have the women to look at here, okay? Bathsheba certainly knew where King David's palace was, and she definitely knew that many men could see her bathing on the rooftop. So first of all, it's nighttime. What is she doing bathing on the roof at night, okay? The sun would not have been out. I don't know what the practices are, but it seems a little odd to me. Bathsheba would likely have been home alone and lonely at the time, and may have been even in that sunken into that abandonment phase of having a husband away at war, even if he was doing something venerable. And the two things are at play here, and these two things apply directly to our world today. It's hypergamy, and it's women cheating when their men are away at war, serving an entity that it is larger than both of them and doing something that's going to benefit both of their lives going forward, whether it's to earn respect, money, or even free education. And Bathsheba may not have had any say and may not have been able to deny David sex, as David was the king, but she certainly wouldn't have been able to forego this opportunity to be with the one that would to carry the king's kid. Her husband was a soldier, and this was King David that killed Goliath. Of course, she was going to have sex with him, all out of hypergamy. And secondly, this is a modern application of women cheating on men when they're away at war. Whenever I have went away from girlfriends in the past, whether it's just for a short time or for a month, I've never really felt secure. And even if I had to be away, and there's always this ounce of doubt that they will stay committed. or they won't stay committed. And even if you know that, even if they know you're away serving, and men, these things haven't changed, okay? And this was well over 2,000 years ago. Just as we saw with Potiphar's wife and Samson and Delilah, there's truly nothing new here. This is the same scenario we see so many times, all right? Hypergamy at play, throwing things away for sex and lust, risking your credibility and respect, and you know, the situation of women having sex with other men as their husbands are away. And lastly, guys, these decisions don't leave you. While Uriah died and David was free of the shame and eventually went on to marry Bathsheba, which is even more screwed up, one of the strongest and the most discouraging verses in the Bible is this one, very similar to Samson losing his strength, when it says, "But he did not know that the Lord had left him." So the passage says, "But the thing he had done displeased the Lord." And men, when we do these things, when I made poor choices in the past, the problems, even if there aren't physical ones like children or alimony, they're not going to leave you, okay? Like I said, the DNA sticks with you. The memories stick with you. They never go away. They're always going to be there. And you know what happened to the son? He died, okay? He died, and he died shortly after being born. David mourned for him. He wept. He repented. They likely scarred David for the rest of his life. This did. Don't take this stuff lightly. Even if you're going to end up getting Bathsheba pregnant, men, even if you're not getting her pregnant and you know that, and you're rapping 10 times, it's not going to leave you. And I'm going to take another little look at a passage in the Bible that involves David. So sexual restraint is not the same power as restraint in other areas of our moral compass, okay? We can be honest, we can be trustworthy, we can, you know, so forth, but being faced with sexual temptation falls under a different umbrella. So David was being pursued by Saul, who was the king of Israel at the time, and Saul wanted to kill David. So David was in hiding, and one time Saul actually was taking a dump in a cave, and David actually was hiding in there. Being in there and it being completely pitch black, so Saul gets in there and his eyes are adjusting. David's been in there for a while. He can see. David could have killed him with his sword. Instead, he merely cut a piece of Saul's cloak to let him know that David was there, but he did not kill him. And David did what was honorable to God in his own moral compass, but when it came to sex and defiling himself and murdering a man because of it, he could not hold back. And how many times have we proverbially murdered men because we needed sex with a woman? And men, our decisions morally overall versus those sexually cannot be compared. They are not the same. Please be aware of this and ground yourself. Keep yourself accountable some way, because once again, there is nothing new under the sun. Temptation will come and is a chance to lose it all in one decision. And don't gaze over your palace walls onto that bathing woman. Let's go, all right? Let's go to war instead. So guys, I hope this one resonated with you. If you have questions about it or corrections on the story, please let me know. Thank you for watching. Please hit me up with the hoodies up in the comments. Like, share, subscribe, and please watch the interview with Jerry. I love hearing from you guys as well, and get back to every email that I can in a timely fashion. Email me at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com before you go to work tomorrow, and know that I will get back to you when I can. Pop those hoodies up for this week. Improve yourself. Learn and take advantage of the freedom. Hoodies up, brothers. Hoodie out.